Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Back from the disabled list is Sean Carey.
Great to be back and feeling a lot better. Thanks.
Well, good. And ratings on yesterday's show were the highest in 8 months.
Great. See if we can keep it going. No pressure here.
I'm trying to think what the difference was.
That's why we brought in Chad. Chad's a winner.
Way to go, Chad. Well done. Yep. Thought that worked out well.
I ended up getting what the chief had, and I'll tell you what, that was a rough weekend. That was rough.
Well, the chief had suititis.
That's what the term. I didn't catch that terminology. Okay.
It's a specific disease which starts as a massive allergy. That's called suititis. You've been hanging a little bit with the suit lately, right?
I've been playing catch up. Actually, I haven't even seen Kevin today.
I mean before the illness.
Yes. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. Here and there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the chief spends a lot of time with. Are you seeing where I'm taking this?
Yes.
Now? It is referred to as suititis.
Thank you, Dr. Jones.
It doesn't take a genius to figure certain things out along the way. I mean, I know Roger has suffered from it for 20 years. Drew knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Allie's nodding her head. Yeah, if I know what he means. Yeah. It's amazing how Typhoid suit can bring the whole place down. Way to go, Typhoid suit. That's your guy. Now we're running commercials for him on being the doctor of digital media.
We are, yes.
Every time it plays, there's a ratings dip. All right, so what? Let's take basketball tonight. They'll take on Ohio State in the Jordan Center. Adam Jordy, Columbus Dispatch, will join us later in the show. We have Nathan Davis on the show today. Four of the five starters for Bucknell received all Patriot League recognition. Usually the team that wins the regular season title is rewarded in such ways. Nana Fowlin was not only the defensive player of the year, but I guess he was the player of the year, too. That's quite a double to have. To be the defensive player of the year and to be the player of the year. Nathan Davis is going to join us at 3:35. And they are a well-timed three-game winning streak from a berth in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, we'll get an update on the Nana Fowlin eye injury that actually kept him out of the senior day game last Saturday against Navy. So
he'll live, don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just telling you.
Mm-hmm. And they did last Saturday.
Yeah, you guys panic so much.
No, I was just stating he didn't play. Oh, I was
panic.
No.
Panic.
No.
Is he a senior?
He is not. No.
He's a junior.
Okay. Yes.
Don't worry about it. It's all good. You hold him out of that game because big picture says you don't need the game. Okay. I'll ask anyway because you're obviously very curious.
Yeah, I was just curious how he's doing.
And you obviously have a lot of money in the game. All right, so
guess. Want to start the new month fresh on a high note.
Yes, I could tell. It's really, wow, sad, very sad. All right. So, you got Penn State, Ohio State tonight. Both teams have really had about the same kind of season. In the national scheme, this is not a big game. But in a local scheme, within the walls of the basketball program, this is a big game. It's a very big game for them. And it's a team that, athletically, I actually think they're better than. I think Penn State is better athletes than Ohio State. Very few times over the last 25 seasons where I've made the statement that Penn State had better athletes than Ohio State. There are certain points where they did. I'll say this. Ohio State does something really weird, though. I want to. This is in general, not with the current team. There was a point where Ohio State had to vacate games. So when you look at the record, like the overall series between Penn State and Ohio State, I'm looking and thinking something's missing here. And there's several games that Penn State won that are not included in the Ohio State record. When they want you to vacate games, they want you to vacate the wins. Like, not all the games. The games you lost, you keep. I never figured that one out. Thinking, what the heck? I kept looking and thinking. Was there was one that Penn State had never won a game until a couple of years ago when DJ Newbill had that big finish. Had not won a game in Value City Arena. I'm thinking, what the heck are you talking about? I did a game in 2001 where I remember Tyler Smith had a shot from the wing and Penn State won the game by 3. Oh, no, it was a vacated game. Well, you don't vacate the games you lose. You vacate the games you won, not the ones you lose. Who's running that show? Come on. Unbelievable. Just telling you. Unbelievable. I mean, first time I saw that, I'm thinking, the heck, I know I've done games where they've won in this arena. I know they have. I mean, I've lived it, so wouldn't there be a good possibility that I would realize it? And I started going back and realizing that they vacated all the games. Not just the ones they won. I'm thinking, oh, what in the good criminy's going on here? Who's running this show? So they vacated all the losses, too. Feeling better. And even when you go through and they give you the series record, they didn't include any of the games in that era, including the ones that Penn State won. Now, does it really matter? No, but it's absurd. After a while, you get kind of sick of the absurdities. Oh, well. Okay. We'll take a break because Sean needs it. You need frequent breaks when you have pseudotitis. I mean, frequent breaks. I mean, I have an entire list here. Like, people have asked me, why do I do the show here? I said, I avoid pseudotitis. Location means everything on this one.
Hydration is key as well.
Yeah, but that's for after the show. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back, Nathan Davis, bottom of the hour. Adam Jordy, Columbus Dispatch, and the 4:06 half hour. Sean Moore is coming up on Thursday from BTN, who is one of the 10 funniest guys on the planet. If you can't get along with Sean Morris, you cannot get along with people. Simple as that.
Well, I remember last summer you chatted with him at Coaches versus Cancer. Have you golfed with him before?
Well, John doesn't golf.
Oh, doesn't he? I just assumed that he did. Oh, I just assumed that he did.
No, 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 no. He was there in charge of the beverage cart.
Nice.
Hey, that's the way it should be. You get the beverage cart, or as they say in Concord, the beverage cat.
See, that's what I was kind of thinking, what I would be in charge of in, you know, on May 3rd when we go to the Purdy tournament, since I'm not a golfer.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Yeah, I can sling the ginger ale with the best of them.
Oh, I know you can.
Yes.
You're unbelievable. Gino Morelli, by the way, a Wayne Duke Award recipient from the Penn State wrestling team by the Indianapolis Big Ten Community Partnership, the postgraduate award, which is great. I shared it, by the way, with Lindsey Agnew. And Agnew, of course, played soccer at Ohio State. Morelli is from Penfield with a disgraceful 3.95 GPA in energy, business, and finance. Where do they come up with these people? That's it? 3.95 out of 10? Oh, wait a minute. That's out of 4. Oh, sorry. It's really amazing. We have a lot of people out there who really achieve. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the problems with student attendance. And it is a problem, and I honestly do not know how to solve it. We had Tony Knopp on the show, and Tony, by the way, a very, very kind tweet last week, which I was very appreciative of, about how much he enjoys doing the show. But when you look at attendance, and it is, it's an issue. And I don't know how to solve the issue. And I think everyone is really confused right now as to how to handle attendance of students and millennials. Now, they've been doing studies. University of Arizona did a study, for example, that came out 2 years ago about declining attendance. So they're trying to figure out, how do you get students to games? What's interesting is that the student season ticket numbers are good. The tickets are sold. I mean, let's start with that. The tickets are sold. They put together a study. 18,000 students in 32 conferences, including all the Power Five conferences. It was sent out to all students at those schools, not just the ones who attended games, and primarily focused on attendance at football and men's basketball. It investigated what influences attendance, such as competing activities, viewing preferences, social media, behavioral monitors, and other items. Here are the key findings in what they found out 2 years ago. Average student affinity was 7.1 out of 10, with 81% of students attending at least one live sporting event. Interest in the sport, game time, ticket price, opponent, and team record were the most influential determining factors as to whether a student attended the event. Students indicated that their favorite part of the game day experience, watching live game action, 23%, in-stadium atmosphere, 17%, tailgating, 15%. Of overall respondents, 28% chose stadium and concession food as the most enjoyable part of attending a home game. And that option ranked first among Power 5 and FBS schools. Of students who follow the team on Facebook, 72% attended three or more home football games. Of those who didn't, 44% attended three or more games. Facebook followers of teams were 63% more likely to attend three or more home games than students who did not follow the team on Facebook. That's interesting. And that trend held for other social media. Twitter, 61%. Snapchat, 47%. Instagram, 48%, made students more likely to attend three or more home games. Students who said Wi-Fi connectivity was not important to the decision to attend games did so at a higher rate than students who said it was. Although 67% of students agreed watching games is more comfortable at home, it scored lower than 2.5 on a scale of 5 on how likely it would be to prevent them from attending a game. That's interesting. Personal errands. Okay, now what keeps them away from games? Personal errands, hanging out with friends, hanging out with family, and using the internet were the biggest competing interests in deciding whether students attended three or more games. Nearly a quarter of respondents reported leaving before a game is 75% complete. Potential incentives for them to stay for the entire game included free t-shirts, a sponsored post-game party, loyalty points, and concession discounts in that order. Loyalty points and meet and greets with players yielded the strongest results, believe it or not. Perhaps most notably, technology presents both a threat and an asset to student attendance. The correlation between social media interaction and game attendance was noteworthy, according to the study. How do you keep them engaged? All right. Nathan Davis, next half hour. Adam Jordy, 406 from the Columbus Dispatch. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, it's 11 and 15. And Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very quickly, this day in sports history. 1940, the first televised basketball game was shown. Fordham against Pitt at Madison Square Garden. No, I did not broadcast the game. Wilt Chamberlain, 1967, set an NBA record with 35 consecutive field goals made. 1987, Chick Hearn broadcasted his 2,000th consecutive L.A. Lakers game. And in 2002, it was announced that John Madden would replace Dennis Miller on Monday Night Football. Four-year deal worth $20 million. I think Madden worked out okay. Let's bring in Nathan Davis now, head basketball coach at Bucknell, the Patriot League Coach of the Year. Coach, congratulations on the regular season. Now that well-timed three-game winning streak that you need to get to the big dance. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far.
Thank you. Well, like you said, it's a new season. It's the one that counts, so we got to be ready to roll Thursday night.
All right, so you have to be ready to roll on Thursday night. You get the advantage of playing at home, but there's also a pressure that goes with this that's a bit different. How do you want your players to handle or embrace that pressure?
Excuse me. Well, I think the biggest thing to going in is to try to do what we've been doing, and that's to focus on playing really hard, competing at both ends of the floor, and sharing the ball. If we do those things, I like our chances anywhere against just about anyone. I'm not sure I like them against Kentucky, but against about anybody, I'd like them. And we'll go from there.
Yeah, I understand that part. Not a fouling does something that is, I think, somewhat rare, to be both the defensive player of the year and the player of the year. Usually it's the offensive player of the year that's the player of the year. What is it about him that makes him a special player for any program?
Well, I think one is that, first off, he really cares first and foremost about the team's success. That comes ahead of everything. I think, secondly, he's just one of those guys that, even when he's not scoring, has a very big impact on the game at both ends. He draws a ton of attention when he's on offense. We haven't found someone yet that guard can guard him one-on-one, so he's going to draw a double and triple teams. And then defensively around the basket, he changes shots. People have got to be aware where he is, and he's a really good defender on ball screens away from the basket as well.
I guess what, he had an eye injury and you didn't play him in the last game. People are probably wondering how he's doing.
He's been cleared to play. I would have played him if the doctors allowed it, but he got poked in the eye, and because of that, they were holding him out. And actually, he was cleared yesterday, so he's back in practice yesterday, so he should be good to go. Barring something else happening between now and Thursday, he'll be good to go.
Right, exactly. That is always the caveat, barring something else. Stephen Brown is the guy that runs this show for you. As you've watched him develop over the last couple of years, where is he a better player now than maybe the one that you first saw on a practice court?
Well, I think a lot of it comes from the experience and just having had the opportunity to play and be in different situations and having the opportunity to read a number of situations at different times in the game, that he's got a much better feel for what's going on out there. I think there's no substitute for experience in having played now in some 60-some consecutive games and played major minutes and had the ball in his hand a lot. He's just seen so much stuff that he's more comfortable.
Every team is an entity unto itself. Should last year be a motivator, or should they just forget about that?
I think that I would like them to forget about it, because I don't think you get to carry points over, the opponents get to carry points over to the next year. I think we got to go out there with ourselves understanding it's all about who plays best on Thursday night. It's as simple as that. Nothing that's mattered up to this point will have any impact other than we've shown we know what we need to do to be successful, and we got to carry that over. But it's all about Thursday night and who plays the best.
All right, so you get off to this start, and it's an either-or right now as to who you're going to play on Thursday night. So people would be curious. Do you want to watch the game, or are you just going to wait for a tape?
Well, we actually have practice during most of it, so I won't have the option to watch it for the most part. We might be able to catch some of the second half. I'll probably catch a little bit of it as we wrap up, if we get time to get off the floor and get to see some of it. But either way, we'll be watching it in depth tonight and tomorrow to make sure that we know exactly what's going on. But again, I don't think either team's changed a whole lot from watching the last few days since we played them last. They're doing a few things differently, but I don't expect wholesale changes between Saturday and tonight as far as what they're doing.
Right, no, I completely understand that as to how you'd have to approach that, because people talk about beating teams a third time and so forth. This is all fresh. I mean, are you one that divides it into three segments, non-con, con, and then postseason? Is that how you look at it?
A little bit. Yeah, we do that. We do that a little bit. We all know that at the end of the day, it comes down to, winning the regular season is great. Our guys are really excited about that. But even on the bench, as that was happening, they were talking about, this isn't the one we want. We all know what's at stake. We need to embrace it. Our goal is to go out there and win three more games in a row right here. This starts Thursday night with whichever team we play, and we've got to play well. It's as simple as that.
What does home court mean to you?
Well, I think it's there's certainly more comfort level when you get to play at home. It's the place you practice every day. It's your locker room. You get to sleep in your bed. You get to do your daily routine that you're used to all the time. Certainly the fans are behind you, and you're more comfortable there. Now, saying that, that's not enough going to win it for you. It's about how you perform, but it's certainly, I think you're more likely to play better at home than on the road.
You want to be playing your best basketball at the end. At the end of the regular season, were you?
So far, yes. I think we've played really the last 2 weeks since Boston University through this past weekend. It's been the best we've played all year. Now, the good thing is I still think we have things we can get better at. I was not happy with the way we guarded the ball the other night. I thought we did some poor things on ball screen defense. So we've been working on it, and hopefully that will improve on Thursday. We'll be even better Thursday than we were on Sunday.
What area of the basketball team is better now than it was in December?
I think we play with a much better pace. I think the ball offensively is our flow offensively better because we're pushing them all more, and it's moving side to side better. I think we have better balance because of that. And I think defensively across the board, we do everything better, from guarding the ball to ball screens to especially rebounding. In a lot of senses, we do better. But again, like I said, we've still got room to improve. We got 48 hours to get better at that for Thursday.
Usually one of the areas that really drives coaches crazy was when the ball sticks. Has that been happening far less often for you, where the ball sticks?
Much, much less. If you'd asked a month ago, one of our biggest issues was getting guys to just keep reversing the ball. They don't want it to pass it just to pass it, but for it to move with pace and purpose. And in the last really week and a half, we've not been seeing nearly as much of that. Knock on wood that it doesn't start again, but we've not been seeing nearly
exactly.
as much of that.
What has Nana Filan meant to your fast break?
Well, I think one is that he's such a good rebounder out of his area that he helps with us. It's certainly easier to run when they aren't scoring than when they were taken out of the basket, so that helps. You can say the same thing about the way he defends. He's such a presence defensively that he makes us a better defensive team. And then offensively, he can run the floor. And again, he draws a ton of attention, so when he's running out of the middle of the floor, he's going to suck guys in, and they're going to be paying attention to him, going to the basket, and open up everybody else.
Because the something that I observed, because obviously I saw him when he was a freshman in person, but I'm watching the Boston University game. I thought his outlet passes are so much better, and on the secondary break, it just seems like he fills. I mean, am I far off on this?
No, he's just gotten better and better and better. He's changed his body. He's had a chance to play a significantly more basketball than he had since he was a freshman, and he's improved across the board. And one of the big things is he's changed his body. He dedicated himself to nutrition and really got in the weight room during the off season, and so he's much leaner and more mobile now than he was even a year ago at this time.
Usually anybody will go to their bench, and there'll be a little bit of a drop-off. I mean, there's a reason you're coming off the bench as opposed to starting. How happy have you been with the production that you've been getting out of your bench?
I think it's been good. I mean, it was especially good on Sunday with when Navy was in here. But I think that we've got confidence. We feel like we've got 12 guys that can help us win. Like you said, there's a reason why Nana plays 30 minutes and the other guys don't. He's a little better. But that doesn't mean they aren't certainly capable of performing at a high level. So we have a lot of confidence with them. I think it gives us an advantage in that we can keep the pressure on the entire game and wear some people down. But I think you saw the other day, the guys stepped up when we needed them and played well.
I asked you last week about players going through a possession game. At this time of the year, what's it like for you coaching a possession game?
You know, it's one of those things you just kind of get used to. Every possession matters. It's something we've been preaching all year long. So I'd like to think that we all are to the point now where we don't lose our mind if things aren't going well. But again, it's a thing you got to approach that every single possession of every single game matters. The only way you can do better with that is to make sure every single possession of every practice matters. And you got to get used to putting that pressure on yourselves, and it becomes second nature.
I obviously talk about you, and I talk about your players. What kind of job has your staff done for you?
Oh, they've been great. They're excellent teachers. They're good motivators. They're well-prepared. I think our players really respect them. I know I respect their opinion and value it. They don't always do what they want to do, but that's part of the job of being the head coach. You get to do what you want to do at the end of the day. But I think that they've been a great group, and certainly you can see just in how the players have improved. They do a lot of stuff with the improvement of the development of our players, and I think they've all gotten better across the board, and it's because of the work they put in.
Best of luck on the next step of the journey, which is Thursday night. Appreciate your time, as always, Coach.
Thank you.
Nathan Davis, head basketball coach and Patriot League Coach of the Year. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. A brand new Hyundai Elantra from Sunbury Motors Hyundai can be yours for only $242 per month. This is not a lease payment. $242 per month on a brand new Hyundai Elantra with America's best warranty. A 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors says a 2017 Hyundai Elantra is the absolute best buy for your buck in 2017. Sunbury Motors was voted best car dealership, best quick service, and best body shop. Now add best new compact vehicle with a Hyundai Elantra, and you just made the best decision of 2017. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. There's 34 to choose from, starting at $242 per month, tax and tags extra, at 2.99% APR for 72 months to qualified buyers. Sunbury Motors Hyundai declares 2017 the year of the Elantra. Welcome back to the Sean Carey Clam Bake. I'm Steve Jones. Sean, at Sean's request, I'm hosting this part of the show. Sean with a serious case of pseudotitis. Dave Ritchie had a serious case of pseudotitis.
Well, we're living to tell about it. That's the main thing.
Some have it.
Some don't.
I mean, I've been asked over time what I thought was an ounce of prevention, and I said avoidance. All right, so stop laughing. Fellow's the best thing to do.
Luckily, when I laugh, my sides don't hurt. So
that's a good one.
It is.
Well, we were talking about the, Tony Knopp was on last week, and I thought he made a couple of, he made several interesting points. Probably at some point we got to replay that interview. It was his answers were so good, but he was talking about one of their corporate partners is Coca-Cola, based out of Atlanta, and he was saying that whomever he deals with at Coca-Cola said that the Dodgers offered him the opportunity to take batting practice at Dodger Stadium because they're trying to influence a buy here. And he said, hey, look, he says, don't they use any common sense? He says, I have an entire room of MBAs that pore over data every day that can tell me the buying habits of people as to who's buying Dodger tickets, whether they fit our demographic, and whether we should be selling Coca-Cola to them. He said, that's all what it's going to come down to, not whether I get a chance to take batting practice against Clayton Kershaw. He says, that has no influence on what I'm doing. Everybody tries to come up with all these different innovative ways to persuade you to do something, but in the end, you have number crunchers sitting in a room saying, all right, the numbers look really good. We're going to go this direction. They have market data on everything now. Everything. I know people try to do cute, innovative things, but it's what the data tells them. Now, we were talking about the same thing. We're talking about data when it comes to, in the previous segment, about student attendance. And the data is not going in the right direction. Now, here's one of the reasons why. Let me give you a reason why colleges should feel good, and then where colleges should feel badly about this. Colleges should feel good that they are selling their student tickets. Nearly 22,000 student tickets are sold here. Now, the no-show rate here is about 18.1% for all the games. And at Arizona, and Arizona State's 40 to 45%. At Georgia, it's 29%. It's 26%, 27% at Michigan State. Michigan has a high no-show rate. Alabama's has now creeped up to about 18%, believe it or not. All right. Now, the good news is they bought the tickets, so you have the money. The no-show rate is concerned for this. Will they be willing to buy tickets once they leave school? And then, if they're not, does that then decrease the possibility of them making a donation to the school? There's a long segment of dominoes that they have to be concerned about here. Wall Street Journal did an analysis of 50 public colleges and universities with football programs. And I'm trying to think when they did this. Was it 20... It's 2014, so it's 2.5 years ago they did this. And, of course, what they're finding is fascinating data. They say it reflects higher ticket prices and an increase in televised games. They're saying that that is an issue for them along the way. There's so many games on TV, including their games being on TV. And the Wall Street Journal did a rather extensive piece on student attendance. 2013, the University of Georgia designated student section was nearly 40% empty. Now, it got up to, they were able to scale it back to 29%. Cal Berkeley had sold about 1,000 fewer student season tickets that season compared to the season before. Since 2009, student attendance at Florida had dropped 22%. 75% of Kansas student tickets went unused. Now, Kansas, of course, does not play a good brand of football, as we all know. Students who still attend games tend to arrive later, leave earlier. And what's interesting is that the students are an important part of what goes on at the game. They're the loudest section, football, basketball. And when they when the cameras are shooting crowd shots, where do they shoot? They shoot the student section. And what they're concerned about is that today's uninterested student might be tomorrow's uninterested alumnus. That's what they're worried about. More time goes, they're trying to figure out ways to get people engaged. Let's take here. I don't know how many, what are there going to be, 1,500 students tonight at the game? Maybe 2,000? That's a campus that has 42,000 students on it. The entire issue is, how do you get them to cross the street? Now, I don't have the answer. I don't have any answers. Believe me, if I had answers, I'd be in marketing meetings sharing my answers. The only answer I've had in this show so far is that when it comes to pseudotitis, avoidance is critical. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.